it going, everyone? This is Pat Loika, and you're listening to Loikamania, episode 26. Today, we have a special guest. He's actually someone that I've known for quite a long time. Actually, he's probably my best friend. He's like, not really best friend, he's more like a brother. He's one of the guys that kind of helped push me along to, I think, becoming a better artist. He's a guy that I've collaborated with a couple times, and we're collaborating again right now, actually, which is one of the reasons why I have him on. His name is Chris Mays. How's it going, Chris?
How's it going, brother?
Not too bad, man. It's this is a long time coming, I thought.
Yeah, those were nice words you said. I feel the same. Love.
Yeah, well, you know, it's true, though, you know. I mean, I think ever since we've met in high school.
Yeah.
We met in class.
Spanish class,
yes. And, you know, you saw me drawing while you were drawing, and it just went from there. Of course, back then, you were like a big X-Men guy. I was the Avengers guy. And then that's kind of how it all started out.
Always Marvel, though.
Yeah, we were both more into the Marvel stuff than the DC stuff, even though we do pick up stuff. I mean, who can say no to Batman? But, you know, yeah. All the other stuff is whatever. So, I've kind of mentioned we've had quite a bit of history. We've known each other for, 15 years, maybe more?
Yeah, it's been like that. It was like 1998 we met. Was it 98?
No, it was 97.
97? Yeah. So whatever the math is there. I'm an art student. I don't know. That's about maybe 14, 15 years.
I mean, the math comes in handy when you want to get paid for this thing. You know?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we know each other 10 plus years. Let's say 10 plus years.
Yeah. And you know, like even for way back then, we've been kind of playing along, doing our own little event crossovers with our characters, you know, and we would do all this stuff. It was really fun.
I remember that.
And I think getting to know you over those few years has been really helpful to me as far as my craft goes, as far as writing and art goes, because, you know, you were the type of person that I could actually talk to, and you wouldn't bullshit with me as far as what you think of what I'm doing. And that's, you know, and I think, you know, it's the same with you and your work when you show them to me.
Oh, likewise.
You're a good sounding board for ideas, and that's why I like working with you and like having you around, you know?
Thanks, bro. I'm glad you have liked me being around.
Yeah.
Like, get away from me. I'm too good.
But yeah.
We knew each other for a long time.
But yeah, we've been doing stuff together, and then just recently we finally got an opportunity to be able to work with each other again, and it's for this anthology called The Gathering that got its start over at the Jinx World Boards.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, the first time I actually I'm getting to write a romance story, which is kind of, you know, a departure from what I normally do. I normally, you know, write, I guess, action stuff or whatever you want to call it, you know.
Right.
And it's been a really pleasant experience so far.
Oh, it's a good script. I like it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's really nice to be able to flex muscles like that, you know, creative muscles, and be able to do different things. And, you know, I was genuinely surprised by how much I actually liked writing that particular script.
Oh, I love that. You know, you know me. Like, I'm always into, like, drama and characterization and just conversation and anything that, like, deals with broken hearts and what have you. And this is almost what that story is about.
Yeah.
Can I almost give, like, an intro of what it maybe would be about?
Well, I don't want to give anything. I don't want to give too much away, but we could probably say that, you know, it's about people who who once shared something, I guess, and, you know, and they're forced to be in a situation where they have to deal with each other, you know, and we'll see what happens from there. You know, I guess that's the best thing I could say to describe it without ruining anything.
Yeah, that's good.
You'll hear more about it as we get closer to the release of the actual book.
Yeah.
So as far as we've been doing comics for a while now. I've been focusing more on the comic stuff, but you've been more on the graphic design, the illustrative side of art. What have you been up to?
I recently became a father, as you know.
Oh, so yes.
That's been taking up a lot of my time. You know, I'm a first-time dad, and so the kid is just, he's something else, I'll tell you that. Yeah. But it's fantastic, dude. I mean, it's, you know.
There's really no greater thing. That's like your greatest creation, right
there. Yeah, I was gonna say that. That, yeah. I mean, how cheesy and hokey and cliche.
It is, but it's very true, though. You know, I mean, you to create life. That's something. I mean, it's one thing to create life on a piece of paper. That's one thing. But this is, you know, also a living, breathing human being. And I, you know, I don't have any kids. So I can't really say. But, you know, just, you know, that's just something else. You know, that's, there's nothing that can top that, the magnitude of that, you know. Yeah. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying it was cool. It's cool. I love it.
Yeah, and you've been busy with that, but it's, things look like they're starting to kind of go back to normal for you, though, recently. From last few conversations we've had, it looks like you're finally getting back into the swing of things as far as comics goes, because we used to, there was a time where, you know, you were like the big X-Men guy, I'm the Avengers guy, as I mentioned earlier. I kind of got you into the Avengers stuff, and... you know, when Brian Michael Bendis took over those books, and then now you're kind of slowly drifting back into the X-Men stuff.
I am. Yeah. Well, thanks to you, because we have, like, for those who don't know, like, I quit singles, and I just moved, you know, I moved strictly to trades. Mm-hmm. But Pat has been collecting singles, and he's been kind enough to, like, lend me his books in order to keep up with current continuity and all that stuff. So
it's like Netflix.
Yeah. It's Pat's Netflix for comics Netflix. So, you know, I have my particular queue, move things up, mm-hmm. whatnot. So some of the things that he lent me recently has been, you know, X-Force, X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, and all that, as well as the Avengers. But I've been reading both, and it seems like what Pat said is I've been enjoying the X-Men stories a lot more than the Avengers recently.
The X-Men stuff, I mean, it's got really high stakes, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't, and the thing I noticed about the X-Men, especially when, ever since they started the big, their event trilogy that began with Messiah Complex.
I think that's what brought me back into it, because I remember you started letting me borrow those, and I was hooked from
that. Yeah, that was a really exciting crossover. I was like, they haven't done one of those type of X-Men crossovers in a long time when that started. So I was like, wow. Nobody does an event like the X Office, because when you read that thing like in an almost weekly basis, and you're picking up all the X-Men titles and you're reading that, it just feels like there's a bit of nostalgia there, because that's how they used to do it in the early to mid 90s.
Right.
And then after that, they kind of stopped for a while, and they would do like the smaller scale ones where they'll be like between two titles, or they'll do like a mini series doing, you know, showing what the event's all about. But now they went back to the whole, you know, like 14 or 15 part thing that spreads across the four titles. And and for some reason it just felt right to read it that way.
Oh, it's good. Yeah. And the best thing about it is, like, you don't know what to expect. Like, I was, you know, on the edge of my seat reading it each time. And that's fantastic for a comic to do that to someone, you know, when reading.
Yeah, I mean, when I remember when Messiah Complex was coming out, and like they introduced like the new X-Force back then, when it was just like a new concept. I was like, whoa! They have like all the trackers and all their you know, claw people basically in the team, like the knife and claw guys in one team. It's like, oh, that's pretty awesome. And then they launched the new X-Force thing, you know, with Craig Kyle and Chris Yost. Which was pretty badass back then.
Oh, that was some crazy ass reads right there.
Yeah. And then they slowly worked their way up to Messiah War, which is also pretty badass, even though it was a smaller scale crossover, because it was just between Cable and X-Force.
Right, right.
And then finally they brought Hope back to the present day, and they did the Second Coming, which is, again, another epic story. That was
a nice little bookend.
Yeah, yeah.
Trilogy there, and oh my god.
Yeah, and
some good stuff.
And, you know, like I said, it's really exciting to read those stories, and for some reason it felt really high stakes. Maybe it's the fact that, you know, they really reduced the number of mutants in the world, and everyone's in danger now, so every death counts with the mutants now.
Exactly.
So that made a lot of sense, and I love the fact that, I mean, what's going on in X-Men right now? I mean, the X-Men have all kinds of heavy hitters in their team. Now they got Namor, they got Magneto. And you're just like, wow, this is a badass lineup.
Who would have known that, right? Namor being in the X-Men and all that.
And I love, you know, the type of drama that, that characters like that bring into the equation. And while, you know, while in the aftermath of the whole Second Coming thing, you know, they've, you know, there's, again, there's a new status quo. You know, Scott disbands X-Force, but, you know, Logan brings it back up with his own, you know, team, which is an Uncanny X-Force right now.
Yeah.
That's written by Rick Remender, who apparently wrote, according to Fox News, the worst video game of all time in Bulletstorm.
He wrote that?
Yeah, yeah. Fox News was giving all kinds of shit to the game.
Fox noise.
And Rick Remender was all too, you know, he was all too proud to take credit for it because, you know, hey, whatever.
And, you know, that.
Yeah. So, yeah, his new team, and it's a very, very slim roster. It's Wolverine, Psylocke, Archangel, Deadpool, and Phantom X. And I've talked about it many times on this podcast, but I love that book, and I was really happy to find out that you actually started reading it at last.
Yeah, I mean, so it's kind of like when I heard that they're, you know, starting a new team with a new lineup, it's like, damn, how are you going to replace the original characters? Because you've grown to, like, you know, oh, you know, you love them and all that, and you're really rooting for them, and they're, you know, that. The team dynamic is really good between them. We're like, damn, they're getting rid of them. Now how are they going to, you know, replace that?
Yeah, I feel
that they do it, if not, like, top it with their new team.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah, and at first I was like, man, how can they do this without X-23 and Domino and Warpath? Yeah, and, you know, those three characters actually added a lot. And then the Vanisher. The Vanisher was kind of hilarious, too.
I enjoyed what they did with the Vanisher, like the Domino and all that.
Yeah, well, the Vanisher, if you read Second Coming, you know what happened to him.
Oh, yeah, he vanished.
Excuse me. And then Domino, they haven't really said what happened to her yet. And Warpath kind of found his peace, and he's just wherever.
Yeah, right, yeah. Now.
So it's interesting. Hopefully they bring Domino back. I think she's perfect for that team.
Yeah, I enjoyed her a lot. I never thought I'd enjoy, you know, like before with Domino, I was just like, oh, it's Domino, and she's like nothing. But with her being on X-Force, she really made me care about that character.
Yeah. And she's great because she's useful for a lot of things. You know, her luck powers are great. And and of course, you know who else they could really use again? Elixir.
Oh, yeah.
He was their healer. And now they don't even have him.
Yeah, so now maybe the stakes are even higher, right?
Yeah. Now it's even more screwed up. If they, you know, if they mess up, something's going to happen. I actually read today, there's no confirmation for this or anything, but I read today in, I think it was in Bleeding Cool, that apparently, like, after Fear Itself, you know, the big, you know, Matt Fraction's big event, and that the X-Men might be splitting into two factions, like Wolverine's faction and Cyclops' faction.
That's so,
I don't know where, if there's any bearing to that rumor, but that's very interesting to me.
I like it.
Yeah, and apparently Cyclops is going to be more towards, you know, Xavier's side of the dream, and Wolverine will be, like, basically siding with Magneto's side of what the dream's supposed to be about.
Wow.
Should be interesting. But
Cyclops is such a badass.
Yeah, I believe there's going to be, like the rumor is, like, Jason Aaron might be writing it, one of those stories, and I think Silvestri and McNiven might be drawing one or two issues, I don't know. But I'm looking forward to it. We'll see whatever happens with that.
Yeah, if that's legit, I'm looking forward to that. That sounds great.
Yeah. So speaking of that, though, I mean, we'll kind of move on a bit from X-Men. And they're going to be putting out the trailer tomorrow. Like, by the time we record this, actually, tomorrow, it's February 9th.
Yeah.
On the 10th, they are releasing the X-Men First Class trailer. I'm really looking forward to that.
I am, too, especially after, you know, the leaked photos and the actors on set and all that. It looks great.
There's a lot of drama going on about that because of the leaked photos and, of course, just fan... I don't know if it's a majority or a minority of fans, but there's a lot of whining about that movie.
Yeah, well, I know there's a lot of whining over the leaked poster, I guess you can say, the characters in costume.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's fine. They have a right to their own opinion. But me, personally, I dig it. You know, I think it's cool. I think it's a nice little direction, especially now that they're bringing it back to, what, like the 60s?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it looks like a fantastic. It's going to be a fantastic film, especially with who's directing it again?
Matthew Vaughn.
Yeah, especially with Matthew Vaughn at the helm. I think it's going to be pretty damn cool.
Yeah, I think he's very underrated, and the fact that he's a versatile director. I mean, he did Stardust, he did Kick-Ass, He did Layer Cake. That's quite a, you know, I mean, if you look at that, you just wonder, wow, this guy can do pretty much any kind of genre, any kind of, you know.
Yeah, he has a diverse resume.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't see why people have such doubts towards him, because, you know, if you want him to see, you want to see him do big special effects movies, there's Stardust. You want to see him do superheroes and action movie, you see Kick-Ass. So I'm sure he's quite capable. People just need to, you know, I think once they see things in action, they'll be more at ease.
Yeah, I was going to mention that too, because people are, you know, mm-hmm. crapping all over the Captain America stuff that I've seen, and then when the trailer released on Super Bowl, that's all everybody is talking about, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing how opinions change when they see something in motion. And you know, still, pictures just never really do anything justice, especially if it's meant to be seen as a movie, you know.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of that with the Spider-Man stuff right now.
Yeah, that one I'm really looking forward to also, but we're still pretty far away from that.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Spider-Man and Andrew Garfield. He was snubbed in the Oscars this year, man, for The Social Network.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree for best supporting actor, huh?
Yeah,
I think he totally should have been there, dude. He totally made The Social Network for me.
Yeah, I thought he was great. Like his reactions, especially after he realized that he got screwed over, I thought he was great.
It's almost like it was his movie. If you look at it in a particular way, like his tragic tale and downfall.
Yeah, and I mean, with regards to that movie, to a certain degree, I think Justin Timberlake actually would have deserved some kind of nomination for any of the awards. Anyway, not exactly the Oscars, like maybe a Golden Globe or something. Because I thought he was pretty good in that too. He was pretty damn evil.
Yeah, he was. Right? Yeah, I was really surprised with this performance, but yeah. he did well.
Mm-hmm. With that in mind, though, I mean, they announced all the Oscar nominees recently, and yeah. You know, you, me, and another friend of ours, Jericho, who I'll probably bring on here one of these days. We're all big in the movie stuff, you know, and we every year we do the Oscar marathon, where we basically watch all of the Oscar nominees for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Of course, that got more difficult as of last year because they made it. They did 10 movies a year instead of just the 5. So
we still rocked it, though.
We did it over 2 weekends, and this year we're probably gonna have to miss out on it because you know you got to take care of your kid, and we're all busy with, you know, Jericho has a different work schedule and all that stuff, but it doesn't mean we can't comment on it, though.
Yeah, we'll make a return next year.
Yeah. So with that in mind, what are your thoughts on the nominees? Like I'm looking at the.
What do you want to look at? We'll go down the list. I have like you want to start with Best Picture.
Yeah.
Okay, we have 127 Hours, uh-huh. Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone.
See, this is a really hard category for me. Excuse me, and that's because I have literally three choices as far as what I'd like to see win.
Okay, what do you think? What do you want to win? What do you think will win?
I want The Social Network to win, and I honestly think it will win. But for some reason, I'm really rooting for The Fighter and True Grit.
Yeah,
but there's something about those two movies. I think The Fighter, everything was really well done. Everything was held together by the performances. And it made a somewhat... there are a lot of sports movies out there. There are a lot of them that, you know, kind of end up the same way as The Fighter does. But for some reason, it's just the way it was put together this time around. It felt like a really special movie. And, you know, the performances that you got out of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it also helps that you see like the guys that they're portraying in the movie at the end credits, too. Yeah. Like, oh, man, those guys.
It's a nice feel-good movie that anybody...
Yeah, it's a feel-good movie. But, you know, it's certainly the most lighthearted out of the... Well, actually, no, True Grit is kind of lighthearted in a way, too. It has a lot of really fun moments, a lot of... some rather comedic moments as well. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think I really like either of those two, but I think really The Social Network deserves it. If anything, it'll shut those people off who kept saying, why did they make a movie about Facebook?
let's see. For me, like, I've seen all these movies, and I would have to say The Social Network is my favorite of last year.
Yeah.
I could just listen to that, like, without watching it, and it's still fantastic. I mean, just the dialogue and the delivery from the actors of the script is just fantastic. But I would like that to win, but I have a feeling the King's Speech is going to win.
Yeah, the King's Speech.
Because, you know, it's your traditional Oscar bait. So
that's what it feels like.
I'd say that wasn't a good movie. It was a fantastic movie, but I like, personally, Social Network better.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, I do agree with you about your thoughts about the King's Speech. It does look like one of those movies that was made just to win awards. But it is a compelling story, too.
Absolutely.
Now for
Best Actor.
Best Actor. I have not seen Beautiful, so I can't really comment on Javier Bardem.
Jeff Bridges, True Grit.
I think Jeff Bridges or Jesse Eisenberg. Those are my picks, anyway.
And the other two are Colin Firth for The King's Speech and
James Franco for 127 Hours, which is also a great film.
Yeah.
It's hard to pick this one because, you know, Franco basically had to carry that whole movie by himself.
Absolutely.
And if you are not, you know, captivated and, you know, captivated by that character, then you wouldn't care. The movie loses because it's all hinging on him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the moment he severs his connection to the audience, you know, it's the movie really loses its, you know, effect. You know, it's not going to be as great as it is. So
nice wordplay, sir.
Yes. And
I'm like torn between three of them. Like I agree with you. I would like James Franco to win. Jesse Eisenberg, just because, like, once again, I thought he was great in it. And Colin Firth. I would have to say my personal favorite is Colin Firth, only because it's like, damn, like, to master that stammer that he is, it's really believable. He really sells me on it. He sells me on the whole, you know, how hard it is to speak with a stammer or stutter and how to get through. Like, personally, I know a couple of friends and even one of my family members has a stutter, and I know how difficult it is for them. And he really portrayed that, you know, in a very believable manner and the like. So yeah, I would say Colin Firth.
And for all we know, you're probably right. But like I said, that movie was built to win these things. Excuse me. And next up is the supporting actor. We have Christian Bale for The Fighter, John Hawks in Winter's Bone, Jeremy Renner in The Town, Mark Ruffalo in The Kids Are All Right, and Geoffrey Rush in The King's Speech. I think Christian Bale's going to win it.
I agree.
And I think he deserves it.
Oh, absolutely. I think that one's a shoo-in, because if you watch that movie, The Fighter, and you see him, you don't even see Christian Bale. You see, what was his name, Dickie?
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays that character so, he gets so into it, dude, that, like,
he's a brilliant actor. He's a brilliant performer. You know, and the fact that he puts so much into his craft is pretty amazing.
He like, totally, Christian Bale disappears, and you just see the character, and you believe it, and you almost think that, you know, man, well, he does exist, this guy, but, like, you know, Christian Bale's portrayal, like, it's so believable, so real, you know.
I hear he's one of those guys who, you know, who likes to stay in character the whole time, which is impressive to me, because how you can hold on to that, especially that character. That character was a very strange guy.
I've been reading some notes about that, because his character Dickie, he, like, you know, he's gone for periods of time because he's, you know, in a crack house or what have you. Mm-hmm. And I heard that he would show up late or be gone from the set for long periods of time in order to, you know, get his fellow actors into the mood and all that, and wonder where he's at, like they do, like the characters do in the movie. So that was kind of interesting and funny.
That's great. So that's pretty much unanimous here. You know, it's going to be Christian Bale, or it has to be Christian Bale anyway.
Yeah.
Next up is actress in a leading role. We have Annette Bening in The Kids Are All Right, Nicole Kidman in Rabbit Hole, Jennifer Lawrence in Winter's Bone, Natalie Portman in Black Swan, and Michelle Williams in Blue Valentine. Now, I have to say I'm rooting for either Portman or for Williams, because Blue Valentine was really good.
I haven't seen that one, but I heard her performance is awesome.
She's really good in it. You forget that she was the Dawson's Creek girl. Oh, no, don't do that.
For me, I'm going for Natalie Portman. I've seen everything but Blue Valentine. I'm going for Natalie Portman. I think she was great in Black Swan. I mean, that's like it was like a role that you're not used to seeing her.
Yeah, I agree. Play,
which was, you know, I thought she did wonderful. It was great. You could really sense the struggles that she was going through in order to be, you know, quote unquote perfect.
Yeah, yeah. She was really great. I think she'll win it too. But I think Michelle Williams is also very deserving.
Yeah.
Next up is actress in a supporting role. We have Amy Adams in The Fighter, Crazy Helena Bonham Carter in The King's Speech, Melissa Leo in The Fighter, Hayley Stanfield in True Grit, Jackie Weaver in Animal Kingdom. I have not seen Animal Kingdom, but I think I want Hayley Steinfeld to win.
Oh, I'm totally with you.
She's so great.
Dude, she made that movie. I'm kind of pissed off at that because, you know, she's under Best Supporting Actress, yet, you know, she's pretty much in the movie like 90% of the time.
She is the movie. I mean, she's telling you the story, you know.
Yeah. So
she should have been the leading role in that movie. But, you know, whatever.
That's politics within the Academy, dude.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm hoping she wins it. She's really great.
I'm going
great.
For her too.
Yeah, she's really great. Her delivery and of all those lines, especially when she had to talk like for like God knows how long, like those sentences were where she had to speak. Especially that scene where she was dealing with she was bartering for the horses.
Oh yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was one of my favorite scenes.
Excuse me. Yeah, that was fantastic. And we'll kind of jump around a couple other random categories. So animated feature film. I'm going to sound like an idiot here, but I've only seen Toy Story 3, and I need to see the other two.
I've seen the two out of the three. I've seen How to Train Your Dragon and Toy Story 3, and out of the three, I'm going with Toy Story 3 because that is definitely in my, I would say, top three of last year. So
that was an amazing movie.
What a fantastic book into a trilogy. Yeah. I mean, it ended it perfectly.
Yeah, I thought it was a really, really, for one thing, it's a really good looking film, yep. And then in another thing is you can really tell that it's a story that matters. It's a story that I mean anyone can relate to, you know, especially when it comes to growing up, you know,
letting go, moving on, all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that it's a really, really good story. And it's a hell of an adventure film too. Like when you know, when they make their escape, especially when they get to the I think it's the junkyard or whatever it was.
Oh yeah, that's when shit goes down, man. And you really feel for these toys. Like oh my God. Damn, where are these toys going now? Like what's gonna happen?
They're like, oh no, they're gonna get burned. The hell.
That's a great film. But How to Train Your Dragon, that's a fantastic film too. That is.
I have not seen it yet, and I really regret because I hear nothing but good things about it, and I actually caught a glimpse of it. Like I went to the bank like the other day, and they were playing that, in the kids' area. Like, oh wow, this is really interesting. This is that movie. I need to see this.
I would recommend that as a blind buy too. I honestly think I hear
it's really rewatchable, and I hear a lot. I mean, you own it on Blu-ray. My brother actually owns it on Blu-ray too, and he rarely buys Blu-rays. So I'm like, okay, that says something.
Yeah, you have to check it out.
Yeah. We'll move on to Best Director, and we have Darren Aronofsky for Black Swan, soon to be doing The Wolverine.
The Wolverine.
Then that's David O. Russell, The Fighter, Tom Hooper, King's Speech, Social Network with David Fincher, who is going to be doing The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo next, and True Grit by the Coens. Man, this is a hard one.
Yeah, I had trouble trying to figure out who I want to go with. I would say for me, I like Darren Aronofsky's Black Swan. I loved his directing on that. It was, you know, like his style is, I just love it. There's something about it. It's different. Mm-hmm. It's something you don't see from most directors out there. And I would say he's my choice with David Fincher coming at a close second.
Yeah, I mean it's really hard. I can't really say for sure who I want because I think four of the five I'm rooting for, you know. So it's hard for me to pick, but I think I think I'm going to go with David Fincher. It's because the fact that he was able to make a movie about Facebook very compelling says a lot. And I think he, and for all intents and purposes, you know, he was able to make a movie where it's basically just a lot of talking going on. He made it compelling and visually interesting that you want to, you know, you want to pay attention to it.
I agree.
So I think I will go for that. But there, you know, I would say Aronofsky would be like a close second, very, very close second. And I mean, he achieves a lot of stuff with, you know, the Black Swan, but then there's still a lot of stuff that's kind of vague to me that, you know, that actually, but then again, it's one of those movies that that would be enhanced by multiple viewings. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of subtext, you know, a lot of symbolism in some of those scenes.
That. And that's what I love about it. It has, how can I say, like replay value, so to speak.
Yeah, but they all do. I mean, you can watch The Social Network over again. Like you mentioned earlier, you can just listen to the dialogue while you're working, and you'll yeah. still enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I don't know what other topics, what other...
But best documentary feature.
I have only seen, let me see here, I've seen Restrepo, which is great. I've seen Exit for the Gift Shop as well. I haven't seen the other three. But I want to pick Restrepo because I think that was just a...
That was a great movie.
Really dark documentary, but it's really good.
I enjoyed that too. But for me personally, I'm going for Exit Through the Gift Shop only because I'm a big fan of Banksy, and it makes you think like is this really him? This whole, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but how it goes through this particular person and the struggles he goes through and what winds up happening with him. It's almost like Frankenstein's monster, but instead of Dr. Frankenstein, it's mm-hmm. Banksy. It's like, what did he create? But it's just a really fascinating film, and I highly recommend it. You could actually get it on Netflix streaming.
Yes, right? It's available streaming. excuse me. Have you seen Banksy's opening to The Simpsons that he did?
I did. That was very dark. Very,
yes. That was. I remember watching that. It just took me by surprise. What the hell is this?
Yeah, no, I'm like, all right, The Simpsons, and then this whole thing, and then once the couch thing happens, like, what the hell?
Yeah, that was one of those things where you're like, wow, I can't believe they aired this on Fox of all places. But, oh, well. I'm not sure what other categories are there.
The other ones are like, you know, small ones.
We'll go to the... Actually, I want to jump into the original score. Again, lots of good choices here. The Social Network by Trent Reznor. 127 Hours by A.R. Rahman. King's Speech by Alexander Desplat. Inception by Hans Zimmer, and How to Train Your Dragon by John Powell, and I damn it, I'm still picking The Social Network.
Yeah, like I was stuck between that, and I really enjoyed the 127.
Yeah, I love that too. Actually, the Inception soundtrack was pretty cool too. I enjoyed that. That's probably some of Zimmer's best work.
It's funny. The only thing I remember about the Inception score is bomb.
That's when, you know, they mess with your heads, and then the music really plays a part in it, which is pretty cool. Yeah. But out of all of it, I think the Social Network.
I agree with you. I'm going with The Social Network.
Yeah, it's. I thought there was another score that kind of got ignored. It's also done by Atticus Ross. You know, they should have put the. I thought the Book of Eli soundtrack deserved to be up there too, because that was a really good score. But it never made it to nominations, or they forgot about it. But hey, at least the composers, you know, part of this thing for The Social Network. Yeah. So it's good enough for me. Yeah, and, you know, as far as... Let me see here. What else do we have?
Let's do original screenplay.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
We have Mike Leigh for Another Year, Scott Silver, Paul Tomasi, Eric Johnson. Story by Keith Dorrington, Paul Tomasi, and Eric Johnson for The Fighter.
Man, that's a lot of people.
Yeah. You have Chris Nolan for Inception. Mm-hmm. Lisa Cholodenko and Stuart Blumberg for The Kids Are Alright, and David Sadler mm-hmm. for The King's Speech.
I think I want to go with Inception for this one. I mean, it's for an original concept, you know, it's pretty crazy that what they came up with over, you know, however number pages they had to write that script. And I think, you know, it of course there are a few holes if you look too much into it, but I think it's very interesting. And as far as ideas go, it's, you know, it's a completely new idea that they haven't done in film before. So yeah. they haven't done in this magnitude anyway.
I totally agree. Chris Nolan can do anything now, especially after The Dark Knight. That dude owns Hollywood by the balls.
He can do whatever he wants, and you know he can shit on a script and just hand it over, and they'll take it.
We're like, we'll take it. Yes.
And as far as writing goes, for adapted screenplay, you have 127 Hours by Danny Boyle and Simon Beaufoy, Social Network by Aaron Sorkin, Toy Story 3 by Michael Arndt, John Lasseter, Andrew Stanton, and Lee Unkrich, True Grit by the Coens, and Winter is Bowen by Granick and Rossellini. Mm-hmm. This is another, well, this has to go to Sorkin.
Yeah, I'm totally going for Sorkin. And like we mentioned twice over already, like I can just listen to that movie.
So, excuse me. So. Yeah, the dialogue on that is so sharp, so fast, so quick. It's just
it's very kinetic, very, you know.
It really engages you, and you know, it pulls you in, and it doesn't let go. You know, and you know, you're really sold by what's going on in here. At any rate, though, kind of move past that. We want to talk about something else. Something I rarely talk about this show because I rarely, you know, get the opportunity to do so. You know, as I mentioned earlier, Chris and I, we grew up. We've known each other for the last 15 or so years, and we share a lot of common interests like comics and movies, and of course, pro wrestling.
Hell yes.
And it's WrestleMania season has begun. And it all started with the Royal Rumble from a couple of weeks ago, which was actually a pretty decent pay-per-view.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a lot better than I thought it would be. I was rather shocked by, you know, I was kind of rooting for the guy to win, but I was rather shocked that he did win. You know, Alberto Del Rio won the title shot for Mania. And I was just thinking, okay, he's great and all, but there is something missing. He really hasn't beaten anyone big yet, anyone who... let's say on the same level.
Well, what are you talking about? He's Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, it's his destiny. That's the thing. It's his destiny. Yes, but he needs to at least beat some opponents so that the only person he's really beaten up really well was Rey Mysterio.
Yeah,
and that guy's. I mean, Rey Mysterio's getting his knees are getting bad. And he's getting old, and he's a little guy. But I think he needs to beat more people. I don't know, he needs to be more top-flight contenders.
I agree with that. I agree with that statement. So, it's his personality, it's his gimmick that really gets him over, you know. He's really good at it, you know. Just, I mean, look at that guy's face. That face says it all, you know. I'm just like, what an arrogant prick, but I love you.
Yeah, he's great. He's hilarious. I'm just saying, though, it kind of sells. I mean, you know, you watch him, he's going to take on the world champion. Whoever that may be, but when Mania hits, it just helps that, you know, he's beaten some names before that. I guess that's why they're putting him up against Kofi Kingston right now, who's the Intercontinental Champion. So they're feuding right now, and I think they're going to have a pay-per-view next or something.
Elimination Chamber?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as far as what's going on in the other show over at Raw... excuse me, they got that stupid... Actually, this Monday, actually, they have a pretty decent angle with Cena and Punk and the next... And No, Cena... Not Cena, but with Punk and Randy Orton.
Yeah, Punk and Orton.
Apparently, he really broke Punk's nose.
Did he really?
Like he headbutted
him. I saw his nose bleeding and all that.
Broke his nose. That was nuts. he headbutted him way too hard. But hey, you know what? It looked good.
Yeah, they're getting into it.
It's yeah. Cool. And then he got kicked in the face later on. Like, oh my God, that sucks. Sucks to be Punk.
Punk is awesome, though. That dude, I never thought I would like that guy. When he first came in, he was making it big and all that. When he was straight edge and he had the long hair and he was a baby face. I wasn't digging him. But then he started the Straight Edge Society and he started doing his long monologues and such. And I was like, oh, that guy won me over.
Yeah, that guy is really good with the microphone.
And he knows how to draw heat, definitely.
Yeah. Did you ever see that? Like, I linked you to a video on the phone.
I didn't get a chance to catch that.
It's him and John Cena freestyling against each other during the commercial break. Yeah, it's pretty funny. But yeah, I'm amazed that they're letting Punk do all this stuff right now.
They're elevating the younger talent, you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, you still got John Cena around.
Yeah, I've seen enough. Like, seen enough. Get it? Yeah, I'm tired of Super Cena. I want old Marky Mark Cena back. I thought he was badass when he was rapping.
Yeah, I liked him better before, too. And his comedy is just terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible. It's very it's targeted towards the kids, which is his main demographic, right? Women and children.
Yeah, and there's that's it. I remember he put out a CD a long time ago.
Oh, he did, right? Yeah.
Did anybody even buy that CD?
Actually, you know what? I was working at Best Buy at the time, and that CD sold out within like 2 hours, dude.
Oh my God!
Yeah, people were digging it. You know?
Wow.
That's... It can't, but it doesn't hold a candle or it doesn't hold a torch to Macho Man's rap album, though. You know, Be a man, Hogan. Be a man.
Oh man,
you are perfect, friend.
God, that I can't believe Macho Man really thought he would be a good rapper. Oh. Seriously, I can't believe he. I wonder if he even sold any CDs.
I don't know, but it's so bad, it's good, dude.
Yeah, I'm half tempted to use that music for bumpers for the show, but
no. Yeah, do it, dude. Use My Perfect Friend. Do that one.
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know. We might lose some listeners.
Right away, they're like, "What the hell is this show?" Listen, now
that is God. They've been kind of working towards an amicable relationship with the WWE again. Macho Man is. I mean, the fact that he's appearing in their next video game and they're doing an action figure of him now. And hey, for all we know, he might do the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, dig it. I dig it,
man.
Hey, what do you think? What do you think about the whole Jerry the King Lawler, Miz, Michael Cole angle?
I'm really tired of Michael Cole, but man, but Jerry Lawler is phenomenal lately. I don't know what they were smoking that they decided to give him this angle, but I think it's great. It's been really compelling TV.
I think it's very fascinating. I could see what they're trying to do with Cole, you know, make him this really obnoxious asshole, and it's working, but. It's very interesting. I'm thinking, you know, because King and Miz have a match at the Elimination Chamber, right?
Yeah.
I have a feeling that Cole somehow is going to screw Lawler over, which sets up the whole WrestleMania match or stipulation of some sort, you know, where King will just kick the crap out of
I think that the rumor I've been hearing right now is that it's going to be Lawler versus Alex Riley.
Okay.
And then if Lawler wins, he gets 5 minutes with Cole.
Oh,
that's the rumor.
That's a good setup. You know, have him kick the shit out of Cole, and then next night on Raw, the Raw is after WrestleMania, always good. Fucking Cole's gone. It's Jerry the King Lawler, and JR comes back. That'd be rad.
My God, it's Jim Ross.
Jim Ross.
Where did he come from? He doesn't even work for this company.
He doesn't?
That'd be awesome. He's got a bicycle. That's Dusty Rhodes. I wouldn't mind Dusty Rhodes being an announcer again.
Dusty Rhodes, he's got a bicycle. Oh, he's a fire.
He's a cold-blooded sausage maker. Man.
What do you think of possible main events at WrestleMania?
I don't know. It's going to be, They're gonna do Cena and Miz. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
And then they're gonna do. I don't know if it's gonna be Edge that makes it to that point, but it's gonna be Edge and Del Rio. And I think it's from what I've been hearing, it's gonna be either it's gonna be the Undertaker versus Wade Barrett, because you remember the Buried Alive thing. The Nexus was involved in that.
I forgot about that. Yeah, they never gave the reason why they interfered. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently it might be Barrett versus The Undertaker, but The Undertaker is still too injured to work a solo match. So the rumor is that it's going to be Undertaker and Kane versus two of the core.
What?
Like, what?
This doesn't make sense.
I know, that's the rumor.
Didn't Kane take her out?
Exactly.
Excuse me. Oh, I know they're brothers, quote unquote, but
sometimes, you know, the writing team for those shows, sometimes they don't make sense. And that is seriously one of the possibilities right now. Because, you know, Undertaker's still really injured.
Yeah.
And I although he might be coming back because they're teasing something at one of the Raws in February.
So. Oh, yeah. I've seen that, yeah. That's right. It's Sting!
Yeah, there are people saying that it's Sting, but I'm like, I don't know. It looks like The Undertaker to me.
Yeah, I got that.
But, you know, that could be interesting. We'll see what happens. But
of course you're going to have Punk versus Orton as a match.
Yeah, you have to have Punk versus Orton. Because
what about Fella? Fella versus Triple H.
I don't even know if that's going to happen. Where's Triple H? Is he going to show up or what? He probably doesn't want to show his face after that trailer for his movie.
Oh, dude, I know.
That looks awful.
That looks horrible.
The Chaperone. My God. They just need to stop. And they need to stop trying to be a multimedia company. Just do good wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. Focus all your writing and talent on to the actual wrestling.
Yeah. Don't get those guys writing those bad movies to do them. I mean, just, you know, have people you write do good stuff. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff right now, actually. There's a lot of decent stuff, but there's still some annoying crap, like, you know, Cena and Cena. Yeah.
And more Cena. Super Cena. And oh, wow. What else? Was there any?
John Morrison.
Morrison's got to be it. Maybe they're going to do like a Money in the Bank, you think, with the pay-per-view now that they have? Or maybe a ladder match or TLC match or something?
I would love to see Morrison. Man, I don't know if you're going to put him in the Money in the Bank again, but maybe you should have him win it this time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, have him win, because you can kind of see it. It's like they're setting him up. Mm-hmm. But I shouldn't say that, because every time they set someone up, they just kick him down again, you know? You don't know how to build up certain wrestlers. Mm-hmm.
It's a crime that guy's not a main eventer.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what he did to piss people off backstage, but I hope he's on good graces with them now.
Yeah, and it looks like they're kind of taking him to, you know, they're trying to push him. I mean, they're that you know that spot he pulled at the Rumble, the Spider-Man spot, was amazing. And the fact they kept playing that up, you know, the next night on Raw was, you know, that says a lot. Although who knows if they're really going to pay any kind of attention to him at right now, because of all
I'm sure hope so. He's very entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I mean, they think they'll even do a Money in the Bank. I mean, you mentioned that, but the thing is they have a Money in the Bank pay-per-view now.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm wondering. I don't even know if they'll do that. But
I thought that was such a great, you know, that's a great bonus for anyone who orders Mania, because that's like the best way to open the show, you know?
Absolutely.
Find out who could possibly be the next, you know. Hell, for all you know, someone's going to cash it in later that night. Mm-hmm. That's always a possibility, too. I mean, actually, that could be something that they do here, for all we know. I mean, if they think that the main event's weak or something, they can do that.
I hope so.
Yeah, and then who else could be good in the Money in the Bank? Daniel Bryan.
Oh, yeah. You need Daniel Bryan in there somewhere. I mean, I would like to see him in there, but I also like to see him do a singles match, because when he does a single match, he makes everybody look good.
Man, give him like a 30-minute match with William Regal. I'd be happy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been impressed with him and DiBiase lately. And DiBiase, I think he's horrible, but, like, Bryan makes him look fantastic in the ring.
Yeah. Oh, man. Remember when Lawler cold cut DiBiase? That was great.
Oh, that was the greatest. That was fantastic, dude. That looked like a real punch. Or
yeah, that looked real. Like,
that was?
It looked real.
Well, like I said, it was either real or DiBiase sold that really well.
Well, maybe it's a little bit of both, but yeah, that was really well done. I was like, wow, if only DiBiase was that good at selling him all the time.
My God, my God!
He cold cocked him! Oh, man. Anyways, that was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, we'll, you know, they announced that Mania next year is going to be taking place in Miami.
Wow.
Again, out of our reach.
Yeah, it's never too. As long as it's within the states, we can make it.
Yeah, that's something we've kind of been trying to plan. I guess actually next year's a little too soon to do it anyway, but we're still We'll figure it out.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, going to WrestleMania live is on the Maze Loika bucket list.
Yeah. And maybe we could drag along the rest of the crew, too. We can get Tim and Nathan there.
We could always do SummerSlam. It's always in L.A.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking about that, actually. But, you know, again, that's kind of too soon right now, at least on this year, for this year anyway. I know you got stuff going on, and I got stuff going on. So it's kind of not feasible yet.
One day, man.
Eventually, we'll do it, because you got to do, if you want to do that, you got to do the access thing and all that stuff, because that looks like a lot of fun to do as well.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Anyways, we're reaching an hour here. That's actually been a lot of fun, Chris. Actually, we should have you here more often. Like we should have you here whenever you get caught up.
It's like good old times, like when we used to do the Dial R podcast, the R-Cast, you know?
Yeah, we for those listening who are not aware, we used to do a podcast called the R-Cast, and it was for Dial R Studios stuff, you know. And unfortunately, we just never had the time to record. Everyone's really busy. And that's why we had to stop doing that. But, you know, I feel entitled to say whatever I want. That's why I have a podcast. I was like, man, you know what? I have something to say, and I think I'm going to say it, even though it's not really worth saying. So
do
I will
it!
Do a podcast. So, yeah, well, you know, we'll, of course, I'm more than happy to have you here as often as you're available. And it'll be fun, because sometimes it's just boring to talk by myself, honestly. The thing that sucks about doing a solo podcast is that sometimes you're on your own and, you know, you're just by yourself. And it's kind of sad.
Oh, I
do. Yeah, I'm surprised by how many people actually listen to this thing, because, you know, it's me rambling on and on about bullshit. But,
Bullshit.
Excuse me. But yeah, it's, you know, podcasting's been fun. It kind of helps to kind of talk about stuff that you like, and hopefully more people, you know, pay attention. And that's the thing that, you know, that really drove me into doing this thing. You know, it's I want to talk about the stuff I like. I'm kind of tired of people talking shit about other stuff, so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to talk about what I like here, and hopefully more people will check out what I'm talking about. So that's why I do this.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. At any rate, man, it was good to have you here. If you have, of course, you do illustration, you do commissions, you do design work. Where can they find you online, Chris?
I do everything. You can go to chrismaze.com, and actually that's going through a redesign, but that's going to be up very shortly. It's going to be your one-stop shop for like graphic arts, design, illustration, everything that, you know, Pat just mentioned.
And even video production, editing, yeah. You know, Chris does everything. And he
Jack of all trades, baby.
Yeah, and he does spectacular work. So
yeah, when that's up, when you go there, you'll be able to see my own online portfolio. And I'm also going to be posting my my short stories that I worked on the site. So you'll be able to see that there, plus, you know, new stories as well. And also, when this is going to be launching, by the time my website launches, I will be open for commissions if you want to do that. And I'm going to be doing it at a special discount price. Yeah. So, you know, info will be on the website when it's up.
Yeah, when it's up, when it's up, I will be sure to do an update here on the podcast to remind people that it's available, because Chris's commissions are fantastic. He does great watercolor stuff. He does great pen and ink stuff. And yeah, he's also good at portraits and pencil work and all that stuff. Chris can do it all. And man, it is my pleasure to have you here and have you talk about this stuff, because I think more people should be checking out your work. Yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, you can find me at my usual spots, patloika.com for my blog, Twitter is twitter.com/patloika, and Facebook, of course, is facebook.com/patloika. And if you have questions or comments about the show, you can send them to theloika@gmail.com, and of course, I will read and answer them on the show if I feel like it. Actually, no, there's a very good chance that I will read them on the show, because I'm not going to, you know, put you for all that work to for nothing. So that's it for us this week. Until next week, you guys take it easy.
Take care.
This one goes out to my real close friend and buddy, Kurt Hennig, a.k.a. Mr. Perfect. Just want to let you know that you're missed, but you'll never be forgotten. You've always been an incredible friend, We just want you to know that we got your back. Party system got style. Macho Man Randy Savage. Hey Kurt, we miss you, but we know you're in a better place. It's kind of hard as time goes on and I don't see your face. So I'm clinching and I'm holding on to memories. Remember the times rolling strong, just you and me. It's real hard sometimes to keep it going day to day. But I know you wouldn't want it any other way. So I keep it moving, doing what I gotta do. And as a tribute, I'm dedicating a song to you. Mr. Perfect's the name, it'll never be forgotten. As long as Macho's around, I'ma keep your spot in wrestling history, cause you were all about perfection. It's not a mystery that wrestling was the right selection, cause you were one of the best, very high on my list. Not just in the ring, but out of the ring, you're dearly missed. But your name lives on, we carry on your legacy, cause the passion that you left with us lives on in me. Mr. Perfect, he was always in command. His greatness was so obvious that all could understand. He brightened up a locker room, he made the time go by. He had personality, gregarious, not shy. He really was perfection, but now he's gone away. We're lucky to have known him, and we'll miss him every day.
This, Mr. Perfect, don't you know that you'll be truly missed?